This episode has been brought to you by Soul Tribe Publishing House.
You are now tuned in into the Soul Sister Sunday podcast. My name is Kim.
My name is Jay, and we're your co-hosts for today's episode and every episode from Soul Sister Sunday.
We're coming to you with deep conversations, questions, and pondering the different wonders of life.
We're also coming to you with friendship, because Kim and I are great friends.
Stay tuned and enjoy.
And don't forget to subscribe, follow us on Instagram, leave us reviews. We appreciate all the love and support, and stay tuned for our episode.
Jay, it's been a while since we did a conspiracy episode, so I think we should do one now.
Oh, let's spice it up and do something a little bit different. Let's go ahead and go on an auditory trip on our favorite rocket ship to weird and spooky locations.
Now, I'll let you know right now, sometimes these topics make me a little nervous, but this should be fun.
Also, too, it makes me think about the beauty of the universe and the world that we live in. So this conversation really makes me want to go visit these places just so I can see them, because some of these places that we're about to get into are very unique
indeed, and sometimes a little spooky. But we'll go ahead and go over and see what we got.
Let's stop by the store first, grab some chips, grab some pop, and let's get going.
What if I don't want pop? I like spring water.
You get what you get with your 50 cents, and I'll get what I get with my 50 cents.
Okay, great. Well, since we're going on a trip, let's get in our rocket ship with all the glitters and diamonds and all the smoke blowing out of it. Let's get in our rocket ship. And the first stop is going to be the Eternal Flame Falls in New York.
All right, tell us more. Where in New York is this? Do you know?
From what I saw online, it is located at Shell Creek Preserve in New York. And basically, it is, how would I describe it? It's a waterfall with a flame inside the waterfall that never goes out. So it's a cave, waterfall in front of the cave, and the flame burns forever. Now, you know, I have a little niece who is very nosy. And while researching this, she is hovering over my shoulders, and she told me that they actually learned about this in school. So this type of thing is being mentioned to school children.
I think that's awesome. To be completely honest, it gets the idea that this is existing, that you can go visit it, that it's right in our backyard. I'm not too far away from New York. So for me, I would love to go visit it for sure. Just to see it in person. It's a waterfall. I love chasing waterfalls. I love the idea of finding these cute little things. It's so exciting to me. I'm gonna have to take a trip.
I thought about that too. But you know, with these kind of things, I tend to pick them apart. So the first thing I thought in seeing this, it doesn't make sense. It has to go out at some point, and somebody has to relight it. And according to a few stories online, the flame will go out, but they have materials there so visitors can relight it. So Jay, if you go there and it's not lit, you can relight it and get a nice picture.
Oh, that's interesting. It also makes me think about, what does it represent? Does it represent something spiritually? Is there a bigger purpose for this to exist in nature? And what does it mean when it goes out? And what does it represent? That's where my conspiracy hat comes in. What does it mean in the sense of it being bigger than people? Because this existed in nature all by itself without us. So what does that represent?
Those are all very good questions. And that is something I would have to look into more and pick apart. I didn't think that deep into it. I just thought, oh, fire and water, two elements. They usually go against each other, but right now they're working with each other. So it does make you think a little bit.
It surely does. Now, let's get back on our rocket ship. I want to take us to the underwater waterfall. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it is located in the southwest tip of the island of, I'm about to butcher this, y'all, Maru Tirititus. I went completely berserk on that one. I'll go ahead and say it's on the southern tip of an island that's beside the Indian Ocean, where you will find this fascinating illusion of an underground waterfall. And it's very, very interesting to look at if you see a picture of it, because first of all, it's underwater and it looks like a waterfall. That is crazy. How is that possible? However, based on the research that I did do, it is actually just an illusion of the waterfall. There is no waterfall in there. It's just the way that the rocks and the sediment of the ground level and how it goes into itself that it makes it look like a waterfall. But just to see that and to be in presence of it, I would love to see it in person.
I would love to see that too. That sounds really pretty and interesting. It makes me think of the different mind games or different illusions we used to play as kids. It reminds me of that. You see it, but you don't. It's there, but it's not.
It makes me think about illusion and art. I don't know if you have seen those artists that paint on the ground and they'll have illusion art and people will walk around them because they think that they'll fall into the hole or they think that something will happen to them if they walk over it. But it's all illusion art. So that's what it makes me think of. And I love that. I would love to visit these places. By all means, listeners, we might be posting some pictures so you too can get the idea of the effect that we're trying to go through here.
I have a confession. I hate those illusion arts on the sidewalk and on the ground. As a person who already walks around a little nervous half the time, seeing that shit makes me think I'm gonna fall. On top of being clumsy, I'll be screaming and rolling on the ground and going nowhere. So I'll stay away from those illusion arts. They are pretty from afar, but I cannot partake.
I love those videos of people rocking on them and their reaction. So I could definitely picture you being in one of those videos.
Yes, I would be that person that screams and jumps and hits the ground and realizes I'm not dead. I'm just on the floor. That would be me. All that to say, the waterfall in India sounds great. This other stuff on the ground, maybe not so much. Now, what I did notice while looking around at these mysterious, spooky places, quite a bit happens in India. And I also have another mysterious place located in India I'll have to talk about.
All right, so we're not going too far. We can leave our rocket ship. Let's walk.
Oh no, India kind of big. You on the tip with your waterfall. We may have to get on that plane and go a couple hours to the other side of India for this one.
Okay, let's get on in it.
So this one honestly had me a bit frazzled. It is located in Bangar, Fort India. It dates back to the 17th century, and it is believed to be full of paranormal activities. The government of India even released an official statement warning people to avoid it after the sun sets. That sounds too fucking scary for me.
Now, was there any stories of it?
Oh, yes. I was just getting to get. Oh, girl.
Okay, girl. I'm ready to hear the stories. Tell me.
Well, people that do visit during the daytime said they felt a sense of anxiety and restlessness when approaching this location. And people who went to visit in the nighttime say there is a room known as the... I might butcher this name. Paveya Hall? So it's some type of cave or some type of building. And inside the building, there's this place called the Paveya Hall. People swear up and down they can hear chimes and bells and whistles. And sometimes they can even hear sounds of women whispering to them. Or even the sound of a woman crying and wailing as if she's in pain. Then there are some visitors that are so shocked by what they saw when they come out of this location, they have a hard time speaking on it. And they have yet to say what they saw, but they cannot even put it into words.
This is what I wonder. I wonder if there's something in the air, chemically speaking, that allows people to have hallucination. Because sometimes there are places that have these chemical compounds that allow people to feel certain things, feel certain ways. And it only happens in those areas. So my spooky conspiracy hat is tingling.
I like the way you think. That never crossed my mind. The first thing I thought of is this area is haunted. never came to me that something can make people see or hear these things that are not actually there. But for the fact that the government released a statement had me thinking it was some iffy shit going on too.
I don't know about the government. You know the government likes to play games. I would like to visit this place myself to see if I could see anything spooky and wookie.
Oh, you going by yourself? I don't play with that shit.
I'm never by myself. I'm always with God. So God always coming.
You know what it makes me think of? I don't know if you've watched a lot of episodes of The Simpsons, but there was an episode when there was a gas leak, I believe it was, and the people in town were standing over it and sniffing it and having a Holy Ghost seizure type of thing. It makes me think of that. They thought it was a religious meaning behind it, or a God was trying to talk to them. It's been a while since I've watched that episode, but I do remember bits and pieces of that.
It is interesting, especially if it's a city. You know, there's a lot of abandoned cities around the world. And I always question the idea of why were they abandoned? And most of the time, the history behind them is that there was a chemical spill or something came up from Earth, from underneath Earth, and created chemical compounds in the air. And it was no longer sustainable for people to live there anymore. So they literally abandoned those cities. And people will go nowadays and still find a bunch of artifacts in there, like, oh, somebody just got up and left in the middle of the night. Well, maybe because they had to. Maybe because someone said, hey, you either get out of here today or you die tomorrow. So I think about that.
I could see that being more reasonable than it being a haunted town with scared women and ghosts. I do have a friend in India. She's not in this city or anywhere near this city, but I wonder if she's heard of it. I may ask her pretty soon and see what she says.
Report back.
I sure will. Stay tuned. I will post her response maybe on Instagram if she's able to answer me.
All right. So let's go ahead and move on over from India, and let's go ahead and move to the Bermuda Triangle. Now, listeners, we all know about the Bermuda Triangle. We know that it's a hypothetical triangle that has had a lot of ships, a lot of airplanes, a lot of people come up missing. They have never been discovered. People that fly over them claim that the connection, the frequency is off. The compasses go haywire. Now, I'm a big believer of the Bermuda Triangle. A lot of people have conspiracy theories that it might lead to a different portal, a different dimension. I don't know about all that, but I do believe in it. What's your take, Kim?
I believe in it, but I don't. I do believe that when people go near that area, they may lose signal. The compasses may become wacky. But I can't get with the part of people disappearing. I've also heard stories that that is one of the alien hangout spots. I somewhat believe that. But this whole disappearing act with the planes and people go up missing there, not so much.
Yeah, there's been a lot of ships that literally crash and they're shipwrecked in that area. So for those that don't know, the Bermuda Triangle is a mythical section of the Atlantic Ocean, roughly bounded by Miami, Bermuda, and Puerto Rico. It's not a real triangle, guys, so don't go looking for a triangle. But the idea is that in this area, this is where it happened. Now, there are other Bermuda Triangle types out there as well. There's another one that's considered the Lake Michigan Triangle, and it's the same idea. This is where a lot of frequency is going haywire, where boats and people can disappear easily. I believe it. I think that in this world, there are spaces and pockets where you can find portals or where there is other frequencies and other dimensions that are easily to get to. Just like we talked about national forests having a little sprinkle of conspiracy, I believe that these areas do exist in the world.
I'm not doubting that at all. I believe they may exist too. I just can't get with the part of the disappearing. I don't know why that doesn't sit well with me. I can see the accidents. I can see your compass all of a sudden doesn't know north from south and you don't know which way to go. That all makes sense. If you think about the earth and the way the earth is shaped and the way magnets pull and just the science of it, I understand certain spots being a dead spot. It's just like when you're driving. If you drive through certain towns, especially small towns, the hick towns, the signal is shit and you can't use your phone for about 15, 20 minutes. That makes perfect sense to me. But I don't see people getting lost. Maybe I'm being too close-minded about it.
I don't know. The fact that my phone signal can get lost, I'm okay with. But the fact that a compass can go north is south and south is east is a little too much for me. That's playing with a lot of elements that I don't know. And to me, that makes me go, woo, wiggity, wiggity, wiggity. And also, too, like I said earlier, there are other areas around the world that have this type of triangulated areas. But another example would be the Devil Sea, which is another triangled area that goes across the Philippines in the ocean where this is happening as well. So, yeah, we can say we don't know. But also, too, after two occurrences, it becomes a pattern. So there is a pattern of something happening. We may not know how it happens or why it happens, but we know that it is happening.
Maybe you were able to find it. I'm trying to look it up now and I can't see it. But do people live in the Bermuda Triangle? And if they do, what are their stories as locals?
The Bermuda Triangle is in the ocean. So we'll have to ask the mermaids.
Oh, well, that answers my question. Never mind. Moving on.
We'll have to ask the whales.
Well, I don't want to bother the mermaids with my silly questions, so we'll just go on somewhere else. Let's get back in our rocket ship. Let's see. I have two locations. I'll let you pick, Jay. Do you want to go over to France? Or would you like to go back to India?
Let's go to France. Let's get some French fries.
No. Maybe some escargot, maybe a croissant, but no French fries.
They're not French.
That's another story for another time. I don't have time for this type of history lesson. We're looking at spooky places. So let's go on over to, now before I say this name, please be aware that I speak English and a little Spanish. So French is not my area. So I may fuck this up. The name of the location is Fosse Dion in France. Have you heard of that?
I have not. Tell us about it.
Well, this location in France has an ancient well with water that changes colors. It can start off brown, turn to blue, back to brown, and any color in between, depending on how the sun is hitting it. And nobody knows where this water is coming from either. People have beliefs that there's a dam leaking somewhere or there's some other water source many, many miles away that's pushing to it, but they can't pinpoint exactly where it's starting from. It's been around for many centuries, and the Romans used it for drinking and cleaning. And the Celtics believed that it was holy water because of its color-changing abilities.
Now that's cool. I would definitely want to take a trip there and gather some water. I wonder if we could put it out with the full moon, if it would have any magical entities. Maybe that's how we manifest. Hey.
I was thinking the same thing, especially with Romans and Celtics using it for religious purposes. And it's coming from somewhere natural. Nobody's pouring it in from their bathtub. It's coming from somewhere. So I would definitely think, put that shit in a jar with some crystals and let's make this happen, or clean my house with it for good luck. I would definitely be on boat with using that water.
Yes, definitely. Take a bath in it, something. That sounds very cool, actually. And the color changing of it, awesome. I think about perfect Instagram photo opportunity.
I agree. From the pictures I saw, it's really pretty. They tried to post as many pictures as possible of it in different colors. But just seeing what I saw, get the right outfit on a nice sunny day, definitely Instagram worthy.
Not that we're going to get Instagram pictures, but we're going to get Instagram pictures.
No, see, we were talking about manifesting. You never know. We sit here talking about this beautiful place. One of us may get our passports and pay a visit. This could be the gateway to that. You never know.
Yes, but first, let's go ahead and take a detour to the Zone of Silence in Mexico, which is another spooky conspiracy that is tied to the Bermuda Triangle. Now, it is said that in the beautiful desert in northern Mexico, there is an area situated between Chihuahua and Coahuila, the state of Durango, which is known as Zone of Silence, Zona de Silencio. And in this area, there is strange magnetic abnormalities that prevent electromagnetic transmission. Radios do not work, and compasses cannot point to the magnetic north. So I wonder if people get lost here. And this is not in the ocean, so maybe we could ask the people around there what happens.
I would assume that the locals there have some type of system set up so they would know which way is north and how to get there. It's very weird. It has to be something in this earth that's pulling on it.
Yes, I would assume that too. And there's a lot of talk about extraterrestrial activities there, UFO sightings. So there has to be something more to these areas because it's been going on for years and years and years, way before you and I existed. So that's so interesting to me. And I would definitely want to be there and take it in. Do we feel different when we're there? What is their frequency like? What if we meditate while we're there? Would we see anything? Interesting.
It also makes me think sort of what you said about this place being a place to meditate or a sacred spiritual ground. If we think about our ancestors, they had many locations throughout the world where they did specific things. And we all know sometimes you have to go into a dead zone or go into seclusion to open your mind and have certain experiences. I would think this is one of those spots. Maybe this is where they held celebrations. Maybe this is where they did, I don't want to say ayahuasca trips, but maybe this is where they took a medicinal plant and let it work this magic. I would be interested to know.
Yes. And if it's a silent zone, can you really silence your mind to find the universe? I would be very interested in finding spirituality there because it feels as if it's already calling you to do that. A silent zone, you can't get radio, your frequencies are off, your phones are off. It's almost inviting. It's almost as if the universe is telling you, you have nothing else but to speak to me.
I would say too, because it's a silent zone where none of these things are allowed, you have to be mentally ready to go there. The way we are set up, we have to have a phone, we have to have music, we have to have some type of energy bouncing off of us to keep us going, to keep us in tune in a not healthy way. To go there without all of that, girl, somebody going crazy.
Yes, we have to be constantly stimulated. That is so true. I would love to go there just to get away from all of that because silence is the loudest thing you could possibly possess. And if you can quiet yourself to listen to silence, then you're going places.
What I would also think too, once you go to this area and experience this silence area, the silence zone, when you come out of it, do you go back to your regular ways of consuming media and all these busy things, or do you just want to sit in silence? It makes me think of the people who go on these spiritual trips and they sit in the mountains for a month straight without a phone and come back into the real world and say, no, I'm going back to the mountains. I wonder if it's that type of thing.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into our rocket ship. Where are we going next, Kim?
I do have another place in India, and this is a place I believe I have cracked the code.
Okay, tell us.
It is known as the Village of the Twins in India. I will give you all the details, and then I'll tell you what I, with my non-science degree having ass, came up with.
With your YouTube degree. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
So in a village in Kerala, India, every family has a twin or a triplet. Everyone there has a twin or a triplet. It is nothing odd. It is nothing fascinating. You know how here in America, you see a twin, you're like, oh my God, you have a twin. Oh my goodness, you have triplets. In this town in India, it's like, yeah, so what? Another person. And over time, the twin triplet population is continuing to grow. Each year, they see a big increase in the twins and triplets that are being born. And also to say the women and the twins and triplets that they are having are very healthy. They can't seem to find any big medical issues with them. That's sometimes a concern for twins, even triplets. Any multiple baby births is always a concern of a mental disability, a physical disability. Is this baby going to grow? Is this baby going to live past their first year? In this town, nah, not a problem. They're all good.
Okay, so what's your conspiracy theory?
We all know twins are hereditary. If people in your family have twins, chances are very high that you will have a twin, or the person after you will have a twin, or your kids will have a twin. I believe that in India, there may have been some moving around, migration going on, and they landed in this town. And more than likely, when they landed here, some people already had twins. They stayed within this village, continuing to have children, have offspring, and more twins came about. Right. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't have a degree in this type of field. I haven't delivered a baby in my fuck. I had a baby, but I didn't deliver any. So I don't know many things about reproduction. But from what I've heard before and being around twins a couple times in my life, of course, it's a family thing.
I would say maybe it's a family thing. Maybe it's genetics and also environmental. I don't know. I also think about this, though, too. Back in the day, weren't twins seen as a bad omen?
I've never heard that before. Why would that be a bad omen?
Because it's supposed to be a soul and it's split into two or something like that. I've heard something like that. So I don't know, maybe going on the idea that they all migrated to this area and they all had twins and it was okay to have twins in this area because it was normal and it was not seen as a negative. So maybe they stayed and maybe they reproduced more twins, and that's, I don't know, but I think it's very interesting. So if anybody wants to have a twin, can they just move there? So if I want to have triplets, can I just go there? And it's an automatic yes?
From what I understand, yes. But I also see too that these are families that have been here for very long times. So okay. I guess they're okay with newcomers, but if you already got family there, maybe it'd be a little easier for you. I don't know. Researchers have collected data from the twins and triplets being born in this town, and they still can't piece together why this keeps happening. The locals believe the village has God's special grace. It's been blessed to be able to provide all these extra babies everywhere. Now, one doctor who's been studying it for years believes it has something to do with the diet of women there. They've been trying to pull it apart of what they're eating, what they're consuming on a daily basis. And we all know some fruits, vegetables, and herbs can make you fertile. It antsies up your hormones so you can have a baby quicker. I also believe that a little bit. Only because in India, from what I've heard from my friend in India and seeing different things, there's not a lot of processed food. There's not a lot of tampered with GMO stuff. So it's healthier, it's stronger, very natural. So that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the idea of environment is causing this.
Yes, yes, very much so. And also scientists, because they want to find ways to help other women around the world who want to have babies, they're trying to pick apart and make a list of the foods they are consuming and hoping that we can consume them as well in other parts of the world. I won't. I'm good with what I get. But for another woman, I think that'd be great.
I would want to go to just witness it, to witness a whole bunch of twins everywhere. That would be nice. And also, too, I think this is a perfect area to conduct experiments on the idea of whether or not twins have telepathy and whether or not they can pick out the same color from a box of 20. That's a perfect experiment.
Now, it's funny you mention that. From the twins that I know, I've seen things like that happen where they're thinking of what their twin is about to say, or they come out the house wearing damn near the same outfit. I believe this happens a lot in this town, but it's seen as, oh, okay, cool. It's not something surprising. And the reason I say I believe it too is because my little sister and I, we're not twins, but there have been plenty of times we meet up and look at each other like, bitch, you got on my outfit. How did you know what I was going to wear? So if sisters are doing that, I'm sure twins do it way more in this town. So after we go look at all these twins and triplets and all the same faces staring back at us, where are we going now on the rocket ship?
Let's go ahead and move on back to America. And let's go down to the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah. Now, the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah is claimed to be a supernatural place. It is claimed to be cursed. It is claimed to be 512 acres of property where things happen, where people see things, where skinwalkers are running about the place. Kim, have you heard of this before?
I've heard of a skinwalker before, but I never knew there was a ranch in Utah specifically for this.
Yeah, so according to their history, this is where it all happens, where you can see it, where you can see sightings, where things happen, where it gets spooky wooky and lemon pooky. I would love to partake in just visiting, not living. I'm okay with having my sheltered life. I don't need to see paranormal activities every day. I'm okay.
Now, people that live nearby or in this area, have they given stories of what they saw?
Yes, they have. And there's also a lot of rules that they follow because according to the legends, you have to. So you see things, you don't go out at night. If you hear something, you don't. You go back home. So there is a lot of speculation of this is something that is normal to the area and you just have to adapt, which is so fair. Because I wouldn't want to be ran out of my home. I wouldn't want to be ran out of the place where I grew up if that's where I want to stay. So I too would follow the rules and regulations. If I see something, no, I didn't. Here's my offering. Here's a little orange. Goodbye. See you tomorrow.
That makes me think of ideas of people living in fear. If you're going to live in this type of area, you can't live in fear. But it'll be hard not to. Think about waking up in the morning not knowing what you might see or what you might hear. You have to question if you really saw it or heard it. Or even when the sun goes down. Everything seems to be creepy when the sun goes down. Now I can't go outside because some creature with five legs and three eyeballs might run up on me. I find it very difficult to live there.
I mean, you can't go outside. You just say, hello. I'm just going to go to the mailbox real quick. I'm going to be out of your hair in 2 seconds. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, see, I would have a hard time living there. I would have to do daily affirmations and daily protection spells of some sort. I would be too scared.
Or you could just become friends with them, too. I think about this Skinwalker Ranch as I think about nature. If we go hiking, we might see a bear. We might see animals that belong outside. So, do we live in fear and not go hiking? Or do we pray for the best and prepare for the worst?
Obviously, it would be the latter, but that's hard to do. And you said make friends with it. Who said these things are friendly? I've seen too many scary movies where they try to reason with the bad person or the scary person. They still end up with their head chopped off. We don't gotta be friends.
That is true. I think about the idea, though. When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. It don't matter if you're in Skinwalker Ranch or you're going to Aldi.
Well, I'd rather not have any encounters with whatever's out there. It makes me think of another conspiracy. I don't know if it's in Utah or if it's somewhere else, but I've heard the TV show Courage the Cowardly Dog is based on true things that happen. It makes me think very much of this location you're speaking of. Of course, if you see Courage the Cowardly Dog, it's a house in the middle of nowhere with an old woman, an old man, and a little doggy. So there's nobody else around to say for sure what really happened. I'm starting to think Courage was in Utah.
I think so too. And that dog was full of anxiety, and he was full of anxiety for a reason.
But he was full of anxiety because of what he saw. The old woman and the old man, old people, I won't say all, most old people don't give a fuck, don't pay attention to anything. If it happened, it happened. I can't do nothing about it. Water off my back. So I think the reason Courage was so hyped up because he was experiencing everything and taking it in, while these older people were just, don't see it, don't care.
I think that's the method of living. If you're going to live in these spooky areas, in these spooky towns, that's the best way to live. Shoot, I didn't see you. You saw me. Great. Awesome. I'm going to water my plants.
No, I would be Courage. I'll be blabbing off at the mouth, not forming full sentences because I'm so worked up trying to save everybody. No, for me.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on over to Oregon. Now, there's this mysterious lake that forms in every winter.
These weird shit happen in these random ass towns, Utah, Oregon.
In the middle of nowhere. I think that goes to speak a lot about mysterious and spooky things. Mysterious and spooky things will not happen in the middle of New York. They will not happen in the middle of Chicago. And there's a reason for that. I don't know what the reason is, but I think there is a reason for that. So now let's get back to the mountains of Oregon. There is the mysterious lake that forms every winter, but drains in the spring through two holes at the bottom of the lake, making an extensive meadow. Now, no one knows where the water goes, but scientists believe that the openings are lava tubes that are connected with a series of underground volcanic caverns, and that's how it refills. However, that's spooky. What do you mean there's water that stays there and then in the spring it goes somewhere? That's crazy.
I was just gonna say, it's on a schedule. It fills up during the winter, and when the spring comes, it flows out. That's nature for you, though. The first thing I thought while you were reading this, before you got to the end, the first thing I thought is maybe the holes that they drain out of are frozen during the winter. And in the spring, when it warms up, it melts, and the water goes away. Maybe?
Maybe. We'll have to check it out. See what's going on. I'll go during winter and you go during spring, girl.
Now, is the water clean and safe to use? Did anybody say, or have they seen activity at this water?
From what I saw, we don't know if it's clean or usable. We just know that it happens and it's an abnormality in nature, because that's a lot of water to be going in and out of one place. So the abnormality is drawing people in.
Okay, that sounds somewhat safe. I don't believe I'll be too scared to go there.
I wouldn't put my foot in the water now, but I'll definitely take a tube to put a little bit of water in and go back home and test it.
See, that's so funny. So we'll go bathe in this holy water over in France, but water right here in Oregon, we'll look at it sideways.
Yes. Like, where did you come from? Yes. Where have you been for the last three seasons?
Hey, look, other than friends turn sellers, I'd rather go jump in this brown water, believed to be holy water by the Celtics, but I'm going to jump in this seasonal water in Oregon.
Yes. Yes, I draw the line at you've been missing for three seasons.
Well, now let's get back in our rocket ship, collect our notes, and let me ask you something, Jay. Of all these places we talked about, we may have mentioned 9, 10, 11 of them, quite a bit. Which do you think is the most believable?
That's a really good question. I don't know if any of them are believable, to be completely honest with you. I think they're all very interesting, and it calls for my desire to visit them. I think that what I believe in is that nature is beautiful. And this just allows me to come to that conclusion that nature is just so beautiful and the universe is so interesting. So to me, all of them are believable to a degree. Will I die on the hill of this exists and this is why it exists? Not today. What about you? What do you think?
I believe all of them that you and I mentioned have some believable parts to it. but the one I believe the most is the village in India with all the twins, and also the poor water place in Oregon that you just talked about. Those make the most sense to me. Twins are real. Twins happen, especially if you have a genetic line of them, and water comes and goes. And also the place in France. I forgot about that too. The water stories and the twins, they seem to sit pretty high in my line of logic.
Okay, so then my question is, where would you want to go first?
I would definitely love to go to nowhere where I may die. So the scary village in India is off the list. The scary place in Utah with the skinwalkers saying hi to you is off the list. My safest would be the waterfall in New York, just to see how pretty it really is. And the water in France.
Okay, I was thinking that the fire in the waterfall, definitely. I would love to see the underwater waterfall, for sure. I know that it's an illusion. I know that it's created because of the sand, blah, blah, blah. But just to see it, it would be so beautiful. And I would also want to go to the silent zone in Mexico, just to be a part of it, just to hear the silence and feel the energy. I think that would be so beautiful and such a unique experience for me.
I can see the waterfall underwater. That'd be very interesting, very pretty, I would think. But the silent zone, you can do it. I probably couldn't, but you got it.
I'll report back, girl. I'll write you a note.
Well, there you have it, listeners. We took you on an auditory trip to some interesting places. If you have any more, please let us know. We're always looking forward to learning new things about new places.
And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok, and let us know from all the places that we talked about, which one was most interesting to you and which one would you want to visit first? And let's see, maybe next time we'll take you on our favorite rocket ship and you can come with us.
As always, move in love, stay safe out there, and you'll hear from us soon. Bye.
This episode is being brought to you by Soul Tribe Publishing House.